Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 12. Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Text 49 and 50. Text 49 and 50. Both the shlokas are together here. And, okay, so what I'll do is, I'll just read through the verse 49 and then together we will read the next one, text 50. Purnamashyang shini balyang dadashyang shravane thava dinakshaye vati pate shankrame arka dine piva. Then let's read together. Shavai Shraddhanana Tirtha Pada Padashraya Nechaṁ Tatratmanatmanam Santushta Iti Siddhati Shravayet Shraddhanana Tirtha Pada Padashraya Nechaṁ Tatratmanatmanam Santushta iti siddhati Shravayet Shraddhanana Tirtha Pada Padashraya Nechaṁ Tatratmanatmanam Santushta iti siddhati Shravayet Shraddhanana Tirtha Pada Padashraya Nechaṁ Tatratmanatmanam Santushta iti siddhati. So I'll read word for word translation of both the verses. Purnamasyam, on the full moon. Sinibalyam, on the dark moon. Dadasyam, on the day after Ekadasi. Shravane, during Shravana star's appearance. Athava, or Dinakshaye, at the end of the Tithi. Vyatipate, on a particular day of the name. Shankrame, at the end of the month. Arkadine, on Sunday. Api, also. Ba, or. Shravaye, one should recite. Shraddhananam, to a receptive audience. Tirthapada, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pada Ashrayaha, taken shelter of the lotus feet. Na Ichchan, without desiring remuneration. Tatra, there. Atmana, by the self. Atmanam, the mind. Santushtaha, pacified. Iti
does.
Siddhati
becomes perfect.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadasi, on the appearance of Shravana star, at the end of a particular Tithi, or the occasion of Vyatipat, at the end of the month, or on Sunday. Such recitation should of course be performed before a favorable audience. When recitation is performed this way, without professional motive, the reciter and audience become perfect. Please repeat after me. Persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadasi, on the appearance of the Shravana star, at the end of a particular Tithi, or the occasion of Vyatipata, at the end of the month, or on Sunday.
Such recitation
should of course be performed before a favorable audience. When recitation is performed this way, without professional motive, the reciter and audience
become perfect.
So, purport by Srila Prabhupada, professional reciters may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies. But they cannot make any spiritual improvements or become perfect.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Shri Mahaprabhu. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Balabhu Subhadra.
Professional reciters may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies, but they cannot make any spiritual improvement or become perfect. It is therefore strictly forbidden to recite Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession to earn a livelihood. Only one who is completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending fully on Him for personal maintenance or even for maintenance of his family, can attain perfection by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narrations of the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. I'll repeat this sentence again. Only one who is completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending fully on Him for personal maintenance or even for maintenance of his family, can attain perfection by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narrations of the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. The process can be summarized as follows. The audience must be faithfully receptive to the Bhagavat message, and the reciter should completely depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat recitation must not be a business. If done in the right way, Not only does the reciter achieve perfect satisfaction, but the Lord also is very satisfied with the reciter and the audience. And thus, both are liberated from material bondage simply by the process of hearing. Purnamashyam sini balyam dadashyam shravanothava shravanethava dinakshaye vyatipate shankrame alpadine piva shavaye shraddhadhananam tirthapado padashrayaha nichyam stakratmanatmanam santushta iti shiddhati. Persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadasi, on the appearance of Shravana star, at the end of a particular tithi, or the occasion of Vyatipat, at the end of the month, or on Sunday. Such recitation should, of course, be performed before a favorable audience. When recitation is performed this way, without professional motive, the reciter and audience become perfect. So, Dhruva Maharaj's character is extremely wonderful. He is an illustrious personality, and his character had been an ideal for as a devotee. At the age of 6, he went out in search of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and achieved perfection. He saw the Lord face to face. And the Lord blessed him in such a wonderful way that he gave him a position which is the topmost region of the universe, a situation which is even beyond Lord Brahma's abode, that is Dhruva Loka. And in this way he achieved the perfection of his existence, perfection of his human form of life. And now it has been, in last few verses, it has been described about the benefit of hearing about Dhruva Maharaj's glorious character, Dhruva Maharaj's wonderful pastimes. And now it has been described on particular days, these pastimes, Dhruva, narrations of Dhruva Maharaj's activities should be recited. What are those days? On the full moon or dark moon. And on the day after Ekadasi. Today is Ekadasi, so tomorrow will be a very specific day to recite Dhruva Maharaj's glorious pastimes. On the appearance day of Shravana star, at the end of a particular tithi, or the occasion of Vyatipat, at the end of the month, or on Sunday. So today is an appropriate day for reciting or and hearing the narrations of Dhruva Maharaj's glorious character. But then also it has been pointed out, such recitation should of course be performed before a favorable audience. And this should not be done, this recitation should not be done for some financial benefit. Prabhupada is pointing out, it is therefore strictly forbidden to recite Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession to earn a livelihood. Some people do that, they are professional reciters. And they make conditions. There are quite a few of them. With the as Krishna consciousness is spreading by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, due to the sincere effort of the devotees of ISKCON, another group of people are also flourishing. They are the professional reciters. ISKCON is popularizing Krishna consciousness and they are making their financial benefit. Sometimes they make conditions. Oh, I will go give a Bhagavat Saptaha, but you have to give so much money. The professional Bhagavat is like that. When you go to Vrindavan nowadays, we see there are so many posters, Bhagavat Katha, by this person, that person. But what is the purpose of that Bhagavatam recitation? Do they recite Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of mankind? Are they interested about giving them Krishna consciousness? Are they interested in elevating them from a material platform to spiritual platform? No. They are simply interested to extinguish the blazing fire of their belly. So, that is the unfortunate situation. But in Bhagavatam it has been strictly forbidden that without taking remuneration. When one recites Srimad Bhagavatam, he should not expect any material benefit or financial benefit. He should do it just for the sake of giving them Krishna. They should not be interested in extinguishing the blazing fire of their hungry belly, but they should actually recite Srimad Bhagavatam in order to extinguish the blazing fire of material existence for the living entities. When we recite Bhagavatam, what should be the objective? What should be the purpose? The purpose should be to give them Krishna consciousness, make them understand about Krishna, and show them the way how they can develop a loving relationship with Krishna. If that relationship is established, then not only all the sufferings are mitigated, but one becomes situated in a joyful state of existence. Anandam mudiparthanam. The material nature is full of misery. In the material nature, everyone is suffering. Not only suffering, as if they are burning in a forest fire. People don't realize that. Especially when the body is healthy and strong, one thinks that he is going to conquer the whole world, he is on top of the three worlds, he is able to do anything, and there is no need to depend upon Krishna. But the intelligent person will consider, after all, I am suffering. Maybe today I am not suffering, but I will suffer tomorrow. Today, it's not that I'm not suffering, but I cannot register in suffering. I'm suffering, but I'm not understanding what I'm suffering. I'm not understanding the suffering because I'm in Maya. Maya, what does Maya do? What is the purpose of Maya? What is the influence of Maya? What does it do? Maya doesn't make us understand that we are suffering. Rather, Maya makes us feel that tomorrow everything will become perfect. Today I am not perfectly situated, but tomorrow I will become perfectly situated. Today I may not be happy, but tomorrow I will become happy. Today my desires may not be fulfilled, but tomorrow they will be fulfilled. That is what Maya is doing. Constantly make us, alluring us to the promises of sense gratification. You will enjoy, you will enjoy. That's what my mind always broadcasts.
See, there are so many wonderful arrangements for you to enjoy. There is so much money in this world, yet you just go out and catch them. There are so many beautiful women in this world, they all are meant for your enjoyment. There are so many comfortable arrangements, they are all for your enjoyment. That is what Maya is. Allurements, illusion. It's not there, but one is misled to think as if it's there. He is suffering, but he is thinking, well, tomorrow my situation will improve and the suffering will disappear. That is Maya's business. And Maya says, come, enjoy me. Come, enjoy me. But when you go to Maya to enjoy, what does Maya give? Maya has a big stick in her hand. She just bashes us up with that stick. The more we try to enjoy, the more she beats us. Or even more significant way of understanding Maya's influence is Maya has a trident in her hand. Durga has a trident in her hand. Trident has got three spears. Not one, three. And with the threefold miseries, with these three tridents are actually signifying the threefold miseries. Miseries caused by our body and mind, adhyatmi. Miseries caused by other living entities, adhibhauti. Miseries caused by natural calamities, adhidoya. Now, who can avoid these three types of misery caused by mind? Can anybody avoid this threefold misery? No. Nobody can. No matter how wealthy, how famous, how powerful one may be. But everyone is subjected to this threefold misery. And what man is doing? Man is always trying to ward off these threefold miseries. Push that misery aside. That's what he's trying. But can he do that? With two small little hands, how much can he ward off the misery inflicted by man? But there are the devotees of the Lord. The wonderful arrangement made by the Lord. In one hand, Maya is there, but at the same time, Krishna has made the arrangement for one to get out of Maya. And what is the way to get out of Maya? The way to get out of Maya is by becoming Krishna conscious. Why is this illusion? Why is this Maya? Why is the suffering? Because we haven't accepted Krishna. For a simple reason. Just the simple reason is causing us this suffering. And time again, through the scriptures, Krishna is reminding us of the surrender. Just accept me. Accept my authority. Then all your suffering will be over. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam. Just surrender unto me. Then aham tvam sarva papibhyo mukshayishyami. What a wonderful assurance. You just surrender unto me, all your suffering will be over. Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya durattaya. My Maya is impossible to overcome. But Mame Vaje Prapadante Maya Metantara. Prapadante and surrender, Sharanam Braja means the same. Prapati means surrender, Sharanam Braja means also surrender. Sharanagati means surrender.
the secret is to surrender. Just surrender unto Krishna and Maya will disappear. Maya will not disappear. Maya will change her form. Maya, who is creating the illusion and inflicting suffering upon us, punishing us, that Maya then will become Yogamaya. And as Yogamaya, she will lead us to Krishna and engage us in devotional service. It's the same Maya. When we are disobedient to Krishna, then it is then she is Mahamaya. When we are surrendered to Krishna, then she is Yogamaya. Same Maya. In the material side, she is Mahamaya. When we are on the material plane, she is Mahamaya. When we surrender to Krishna and become situated on the spiritual plane, then she is Yogamaya. An example can be given in this respect is that of a policeman. A policeman is the same policeman to a criminal, to a thief, to a bandit. The policeman is punishing him. The policeman, when a thief, when a thief sees a policeman, what does the thief do? For him, the policeman is a very frightening object. He runs away from him. And also the policeman, when they catch the thief, he just bashes him up, beats him up. Now, to a peace-loving person, that policeman, the same policeman, is a source of security. He feels, oh, now I'm safe, because the policeman is safe. Isn't it? Same policeman, but two different persons. The policeman has two different appearances. To a criminal, the policeman is causing punishment, inflicting punishment. And to a peace-loving person, to a good person, those who are abiding by the law, the policeman is a source of assurance. And then when that person wants to meet the king or the governor, then that same policeman escorts him to the governor or the king. So Maya is something like those who are criminals, to them she is Mahamaya with a trident in her hand, and to the peace-loving people she is a source of assurance and she engages them in the service. So she makes the arrangements for their engagement. She engages them in Krishna's service. That's why Mahamaya is Dashabhuja. Mahamaya has 10 arms. But Yogamaya has 8 arms. Durga has 10 arms. What are those? And Yogamaya has 8 arms. What are the 2 extra arms of Durga? In one hand she has the trident, and in the another extra hand she has the snake. Snake is the symbolic representation of time. With the snake, the snake coils around Mahishasura. Mahishasura. Durga is killing Mahishasura. The snake is, with time she is overpowering the asura, the demon. Those who are opposed to Krishna. And with the trident, she is killing the demon. But in the spiritual sky, Yogamaya doesn't need these 2 things. Therefore, she left those 2 arms in this material nature. So, in this way we can see that Maya is actually a very wonderful personality. There's nothing to be afraid of Maya. If we surrender to Krishna, then Maya will become, Maya will assist us, Maya will help us, Maya will lead us to Krishna. As Jogamaya. In Vaikuntha she is Jogamaya, Ashtabhuja, Jogamaya. In Vrindavan she is Purnamasi. As Purnamasi, what is she doing? She is making all the arrangements for Krishna's pastimes. She is making all the arrangements to engage the devotees in Krishna's service. And in this way, when you go to Vrindavan, we have to take shelter of Purnamasi. And she will lead us to Krishna. She will guide us and engage us in Krishna's service. And those services are wonderful. And those services are the source of joy. Now, who will provide these information? Those who are really concerned about our welfare. They recite, they tell us, they inform us. Like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada took so much trouble to go to the West. At the age of 70, traveling in a cargo ship. She traveled for over a month, had two heart attacks, undergoing so many difficulties, he arrived in the United States. And there also so much struggle. Why? Srila Prabhupada was perfectly situated. As a pure devotee, as a devotee of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada had the perfect situation. He was in Vrindavan. He had been there for years together, for many years he had been there. And then at least 13, 14 years he had been a resident of Vrindavan. He had the most coveted situation, most desirable situation in Vrindavan. He was staying in Radha Damodar temple. He had his own arrangement. And that temple was just, that Prabhupada's residence, the rooms Prabhupada was staying, was just next to Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami's Samadhi. Rupa Goswami, Samadhi, Prabhupada would look out of his room and what did Prabhupada see? Rupa Goswami, Samadhi and Raghunath Das Goswami, Samadhi. From his window he could see that. In a living in a temple. Like, for a devotee that is the ideal situation. But what did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada left that situation. Took that very, very risky venture to go to the States. Sumati Morarji knew how difficult the journey could be for such an old man. And she tried to dissuade Srila Prabhupada. Swamiji, please don't go. This journey is going to be so arduous. You may even die during the journey. And America, you don't know what America is like. Who will listen to your words there? They are gross materialistic. They are just interested in intoxication and illicit sex and meat eating. You won't have any food to eat there. There is no vegetarian food there. So she tried to dissuade him. But Prabhupada insisted, no, let me give it a try. My Guru Maharaj instructed me and let me try. Even if I die, so what? Even if I die, there is no harm. Because I'll give up my body trying to fulfill the desire of my spiritual master. That will be the perfection of my existence. So Srila Prabhupada convinced her. She reluctantly made that arrangement for Prabhupada to travel in a cargo ship. Now, who will ever do such a thing? I'm 64 years old and I'm realizing what it means to be 64. I don't yet know what it means to be 70. And I can see the difference between 63 and 64. Last year, this time, I was a different person. Today, I can see my body is... body has changed so much. Like, but Prabhupada went at the age of 70, undergoing so many difficulties. Why did Prabhupada do that? Of course, to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. But why did Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master, instructed him to do that? Why? Because he saw the need to deliver the suffering conditioned soul. He knew that the only solution to that suffering is Krishna consciousness, the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why he himself committed himself to fulfill that mission, spreading Krishna consciousness. And he instructed Srila Prabhupada to do that. He didn't instruct only Srila Prabhupada, he instructed many other disciples, qualified disciples of his. He even patronized them to go to England, go to Europe. He paid for them to go there, but none of them could do anything. Because they didn't understand the importance of distributing this message. Srila Prabhupada did. And that's why Srila Prabhupada persevered so sincerely all his life. Because Prabhupada understood the importance of his message. Prabhupada understood the need of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And when Srila Prabhupada went there, did Prabhupada do it for money? Actually, at that time there was another guru was there. Not another guru, there were quite a few gurus, but one guru was very famous for giving mantra for money. You give $10, you'll get one mantra. You give $20, you'll get another mantra. But $20 mantra is a bigger mantra. And if you could give $100, oh, you'll get a very big mantra. So they were selling mantras. It's a business. Business in the name of Krishna consciousness. Not Krishna consciousness. In the name of spirituality. Whereas Srila Prabhupada was completely different. Srila Prabhupada went and gave the mantra, not only gave the mantra to anybody and everybody, no secret, just give. And he rather went out of his way to get people to take that mantra. What Prabhupada used to do, where Prabhupada didn't have money. Prabhupada did not even have money to maintain himself. But whatever money came, what did Prabhupada do with that? On Sunday morning, Prabhupada would go to the Chinatown, the market, shopping area, the Chinatown. In Chinatown, the Chinese people have their shops. Their things are cheaper. In other places, in the grocery stores, the things, the vegetables are at least 5 times more expensive. Whereas in Chinatown, it's much cheaper. Srila Prabhupada used to go to Chinatown, buy vegetables and groceries, and come to his small little apartment. And he would cut the vegetables, he would cook the vegetables, he would offer the preparations to Krishna, and then they would have all these young boys and girls who are flocking around Srila Prabhupada, they would come and have the feast, Sunday feast, love feast. Srila Prabhupada started the love feast, Sunday feast in this way. He would cook himself. Not only cook, he would spend the money from his own pocket. Buy the vegetables, buy the groceries, prepare the food, offer it to Krishna, and then offer it to them. They loved it. Prabhupada was a fantastic cook. Prabhupada was the best cook, at least I have ever seen. Whatever Prabhupada cooked, tasted completely sublime, completely divine. Prabhupada would cook something in just 5 minutes and it would taste like nectar. And in this way one could see how Prabhupada was trying to get them. He went out of his way to attract the young boys and girls. He took care of them. He saw that they don't have proper food to eat. So he gave them Krishna Prasad. And they took the feast. Before the feast, Prabhupada led a kirtan, Prabhupada gave a lecture, and then they had the feast. The serving they did themselves. Some of the boys served. And after serving, they ate. And after eating, everyone disappeared. Everyone left. All the pots were there, dirty. The whole place is dirty. Because they are young Americans, they are not very responsible, they were not very sensitive. They didn't consider the need for cleaning the place, cleaning the pots. They just left, they were happy. Oh, what a far out feast, man. But the Prabhupada had to clean the whole place. Prabhupada had to wash all the pots. Prabhupada was doing that. Why? Because Prabhupada's heart was crying, seeing their suffering complete. So that is the purpose of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. To deliver the suffering conditioned souls from the miserable existence of material nature. So that is the difference between this Bhagavata reciter and Srila Prabhupada. So many Bhagavata reciters. Actually, some of them are very popular. I mean, where I heard, I never been to those places. I heard some of them when they have their Bhagavat Katha, 20-25,000 people come. They collect a lot of money. But all these 25,000 people, for one whole week, they recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Do they derive any spiritual benefit?
No.
When they go home, they are same old selves that they were. None of them become a vegetarian after reading, after hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. None of them give up their intoxication. Rather, many of the Bhagavatam reciters indulge in intoxication. They may be vegetarians, but many of them smoke bidi. Tea is a must for them. Maybe while reciting Bhagavatam, they sip their tea and coffee. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave the message in such a way that just by hearing, people are giving up immediately. Not ordinary Indians, pious Indians. But Americans who never could even dream of becoming a vegetarian, who could never even think of giving up alcohol, who could never think of giving up all these intoxicants, who never thought that there was anything wrong in illicit sex. At that time, when Prabhupada went to America, that time, the common understanding was that the boys and girls can just live together. There is no need to get married. There is no need to get married. Just live together. Because life is meant for enjoyment. So enjoy. So, in such a situation, Prabhupada went there. And what did Prabhupada do? It was actually unthinkable. It was inconceivable. Prabhupada made them give up meat eating, not only meat, no fish, no eggs, no onion, no garlic. Meat eating just doesn't mean meat as such. It includes fish, eggs, onions, garlic. No intoxication, which includes even tea and coffee. I mean, it's inconceivable. For them, it was inconceivable. The young Americans. No illicit sex. No gambling. Of course, the youth of America at that time was not so much into gambling and not also so much into meat eating. But these two things, intoxication and illicit sex, that was the key word of their existence, the main purpose of their existence. Sex and drugs. But Srila Prabhupada made them stop that. Give up. And young boys and girls did that. They gave up. Why? Because Prabhupada's message penetrated through their thick covering and entered into their hearts. They became devotees. And their life is perfect. That their lives become perfect. So here also, you all are sitting here. You have seen many of you who are non-vegetarian, you gave it up. Many of you used to indulge in intoxicants, you gave it up. Not even tea and coffee. And you have accepted a pure life. How did it happen? It was because of Srila Prabhupada's teaching. And that is the purpose of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. To create the benefit for the suffering conditions. With that objective only Srimad Bhagavatam should be recited, not with any other objective. How to save the suffering conditioned souls from their miserable existence. And this leads to ultimately a life of immortality. You live this life, what will happen? Not only your suffering condition will be mitigated, but you will achieve an eternal life. A life where there is no death. You will never die. You have achieved immortality. You not only achieved immortality, you have the taste of sublime spiritual joy. As you are developing your relationship with Krishna, the more you are experiencing this spiritual bliss. And that is the benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a proper spiritual source. And the result we are seeing all over. What is ISKCON doing? ISKCON is making people all over the world into devotees. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Srila Prabhupada actually used to say, why saptaha? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Not saptaha. One week Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, and rest of the year or rest of the life doing all nonsense. No. Bhagavatam is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. All the time. The first part of your question was? Well, I don't think you are insincere. I think you are practicing quite sincerely. You are just being modest. So carry on in this. Your life will become perfect. Just try to, you have received Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So continue in this way. Your love, life will become perfect. Right? And now that you cannot practice so sincere, so extensively, because you have your studies and you have other things. But if you carry on in this way, I'm sure you'll achieve it. Yes, Nilambari?
Why is it so that after so much individual education and effort, you get the result? And you get the result by the other hand. Just a simple effort is a rich feeling. So, why is it so?
Well, my first response will be, what's the hurry? Who says that you are not getting the result? You are practicing Krishna consciousness, right? You are following the Four Noble Principles. You are chanting the holy name. So is there some result? At least you are doing this much. So just carry on doing this much. Before you came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, were you doing all these things? Were you chanting? So now that you are chanting, isn't it something happening? Did you know Krishna before you came across Srila Prabhupada's teaching? In a proper way? You may have known the name Krishna, but Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as He is, did you know Him in that way? Now do you know Him? Now do you realize the importance of surrendering us to Him? Did you surrender yourself to Him? So, are these the results? Yeah, these are the results. So who says there was no result? So keep on practicing. That's what I was saying. What's the hurry? Take it easy. Just carry on doing whatever Prabhupada asks you to do. Chant your 16 mantras. I think you're chanting more than that. Chant your rounds. Mold your life according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And that itself will generate the desired benefit. Any other question? Yes? Spiritually, the more we'll understand, more we'll perceive the suffering condition of others. So if we are not really feeling their suffering condition, if we are not really feeling that compassion for them, we have to understand that we didn't advance enough. But it doesn't matter. Keep on practicing the process. It will happen. Obviously, we are not as advanced as Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, we cannot feel the compassion that Srila Prabhupada felt for the suffering conditions. But at least we know that if we keep on practicing, then it will happen. As we make advancement, the more we make advancement, we will see their suffering condition and we will feel the urge to give it out to them. Give Krishna consciousness to them. So, sincerely practice the sadhana bhakti. And the sadhana bhakti will make us siddhi, perfect. From sadhana bhakti, we will become pure.
Hare Krishna.
Attention was the word specifically for chanting. Sometimes you fail to give attention while talking, sometimes you fail to give a lot of attention.
So if you feel or if you realize that something should be done, what should you do? Keep doing it? Keep doing that? If you know that this shouldn't be done, say why, as you say, while chanting, talking to others, is it should be done? Then what should you do? Don't do it. Right. It's, if I know that something shouldn't be done, but if I keep on doing that, that's not sincere. So if I realize that, but it's a good sign that you are realizing that it shouldn't be done. Therefore now you don't do that. Right? Then that is perfection. Perfection comes by practice. But first you are recognizing, like, see, there was a time when you didn't even know the importance of chanting. But now you know. Right? So you started chanting. Now while chanting, you are recognizing that something should be done. So you stop doing that. And in this way, you'll become more and more perfect. And ultimately, you'll come to a stage of pure chanting. That is the goal, pure chanting. Now, in the initial stage, offensive chanting. Initially, but still, it doesn't matter, keep chanting. By chanting, the offensive stage will disappear. Inattentive chanting. Keep on chanting, so the chanting will become attentive. Then you come to clearing stage. And from clearing stage, you come to a pure stage. Okay, thank you very much.